Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you in Christ to give you thanks for this Lord's Day, this holy day you've given to us. We are thankful, Lord, for the preaching of your word and the worship that we have offered up to you. We do pray that it will have been found acceptable in your sight, and you'll continue to pour out your blessings upon us and search us as well, so that we can live right before your sight. We pray now, be with us as we continue to study your word regarding the family, and in particular today as we begin to study about being single. We ask, Lord God, that you'll bless this time of study, and that we'll all find profit from it, and that we may be able to apply it, even if we're married, knowing that our children will be in this situation as they get older. This we do pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, everyone, turn in your copy of God's Word to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you are able. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to start a little series on being single. And so if you're married, remember the single people that are in this congregation put up with the marriage part. So now it's your turn to put up with the single part, okay? And yes, and I know most of our single people are not here today because they're either sick or traveling. That's okay. They can always catch up on the recording. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. This is the word of God. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Amen. That's far the reading of God's word. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with my method of Bible study, remember, I like interaction. I want interaction. So, from your overall reading of Scripture, even from this passage, what do you recall the Bible says about being single? You can even take it from this passage I just read. What does the Bible say or teach what it means to be single? What that condition being single is like?
It's a condition in which opens the individual up for more time and focus in serving the Lord.
Okay, good, good. What else?
I guess in Genesis and the creation, when it was just Adam, God did withhold from saying it was good. He recognized something wasn't complete there.
Okay. All right. Matt, you had your hand up?
Purity.
Good.
That for singlecy for other people is also a gift from God.
Good.
As marriages as well.
Good. So, our text calls it a gift. Being single is a gift, right? So, yes, when Adam wasn't married, was incomplete, and we're about to explore that, okay? So, how about this idea? Being single is just something to endure. Do you agree with that?
I disagree.
You disagree, okay?
If a man burns with passion and lust, it's now mandatory on him to be married. So he can't just endure singlecy if he is burning with lust.
Okay. Think of other contexts of being single. Is being single just something to endure, like it's a burden?
No.
Okay, good.
I think if a man is able to be single, then it's definitely not a burden.
Right. It's a gift, right? We just said that. So it's not just something to endure. Okay? Good. Devin, you mentioned this earlier. I want to parse it out some more. What place do single people have in the church? What place do single people have in the church? Are they the ones that we can form a singles group around and say, hey, we got a program for single people? Or what is their place in the church?
I think a part of it is fulfilling our covenant vows. Like when we join a church, we invest in other people's children. We learn from the married couple and in every way that we can be helpful.
Good.
When you become married, your primary ministry is towards your family. And so that would imply that when you're single, your primary ministry is, I would assume, towards the body, church body.
Good. Yes. Good. Great. Now, we speak about single people. And when you think of single people, who comes to mind when you think about single people? Usually.
Myself.
Yourself, yeah.
Like the younger, unmarried, you know, not yet married. That's
right.
Probably who we think of.
Okay, so we have two young unmarried people right now, right, in the congregation, in the present. We usually have more, but they're not here today. But usually we think about the young, right? Who else is single? Or falls in the category of being single?
Widows or widowers.
Widows and widowers. Good. Who else?
Kids.
Yes, kind of, but not ready to get them married, right? But it's good. Good. Who else? There's one more category.
Perhaps, you know, the Lord hates divorce, but divorcees.
Yes. Exactly. That's the other category.
There's extraordinary circumstances where people choose a life of celibacy.
Yes. The eunuchs for the kingdom's
yes.
sake. Okay? So that is another category. Very rare, but that is another category. So, single people who are young, who are not married yet, widowers, divorcees, and then eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. All four fall under the category of being single. According to the word of God. And we're going to flesh all this out in the coming weeks. We're going to focus on the different categories and then what the Bible teaches about them and their calling and their gift. Okay? Because they have a gift in that. Even divorcees. Okay? All right. So we're going to explore the different ways being single is described and what, you know, what it means to live as a single person. And then also in conjunction with all that, what our responsibility as those who are not single are towards them. Who, you know, what role do we have to play as married people towards the single people? And then what role do single people have to play towards the married? Okay? Because remember, it's reciprocal. Everything in the body of Christ is reciprocal. We all help one another out, and these are all conditions. Everyone has certain different conditions that we need to understand and how to engage it, right? You know, we think of the body, and we think, oh, well, people have different jobs and, you know, educational levels and social status, but there's also that of being single, that of being married. Okay, so we'll get into that. All right, so let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and go back to Genesis. No pun intended. Genesis 1:26. I trust you found it already. Verse 26. And God said, someone caught it. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over the, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God creates all things. God creates man. mankind comes in two genders, male or female, right? That's it. So he creates all of mankind, and we are creating the image of God, and then God gives mankind authority over all of creation, okay? So male and female are introduced for the first time here, okay? So there's a male and there's a female. Okay, what to do with that, right? So jump down to chapter 2, verse 18. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And God gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, so what do we learn here? What Ryan said, right? It was not good that man should be alone. And so he brings all the animals to Adam, and Adam names them all, but of course, none of the animals could be with man, right? So what does the Lord do? He causes Adam to go to sleep, and this is real history. This is not stories. He goes to sleep and takes a rib out of Adam's side and forms from that rib a woman. Right? So woman comes from man. Okay? We read this in the New Testament as well. And then Adam says, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. She'll be woman because she came from man. And so that's the first couple. They're married at that moment. Adam was single, but for a time. Okay? We're not told how long he was single for, but just think about it. Every creature that God created came to Adam, and he named them all. Each day that God created was a literal 24-hour day. So it wasn't like on day six, you know, he had, you know, 1,000 years to name all the animals. It was 24 hours, okay? So just imagine, that took some time for him to name all the creatures. So he was single during all that time. That's the point. And then he makes a woman, okay? And then this concept of father and mother is introduced. Adam doesn't know what a father and mother is, nor does he. Think about that, okay? And they become one, all right? So the first marriage, he was single for a moment, and it wasn't good for him to be single because there was a purpose. God was going, he had created all of mankind, he had created all creatures, and they were to be what? Fruitful, to be fruitful and to multiply. Single people can't do that. That's why it was not good. He needed to, you know, have offspring. He could only have offspring with a female. All right? Now turn to Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. This is the Protoevangelium, the first mention of the gospel, okay? So the gospel is pronounced here in verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between their seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. and unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and shalt eat herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Which is another presentation of the gospel. Now, moving on. And the Lord said, because the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed them at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flame sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of the life. So here we have mothers, the origin of birth pangs, right? Of why it hurts when you have babies. It's all Eve's fault, okay? So here's the origin of that. And men, this is why it's called work. And, you know, why we complain about work, because we sinned against God, and he cursed the ground to make us sweat for our bread. So all this is setting something up, okay? You might be asking yourselves, what does this have to do with being single? You're going to see as I unfold this, all right? So here's the origin of being single and then becoming married. Now, remember that Christ, or God says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Remember that, because this is key throughout the Old Testament. Okay, this is key throughout the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul makes that a center point in the book of Galatians. Okay, so look at chapter 4, verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his son Seth. For God, says she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Okay? Now, before I get to verse 26, I jump to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. When she says this, she believes that Genesis 3:15 is being fulfilled. She says, I received the seed, the man from the Lord. But he didn't turn out to be that seed, that promised seed, did he? Because he kills his brother. Now go back to verse 26. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. So she has another son named Seth. And she said, what? God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So she's trusting in the promise of the gospel here. That's what's going on. And then what happens with Seth? Seth has a child named Enos. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. He's the godly line, you see? So what are we learning here? That being single in Genesis was not good, because the purpose of God creating us was to procreate, to fill the earth, and take dominion, right? For the purpose of what after the fall of man? For the promised seed to come. And when Eve gets pregnant, she says, what? She says, the Lord has given me a man. In fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 was her thought. That didn't work out. Then she has Seth. And to Seth, she says the same thing. And it is after Seth has a child that the people began to worship Jehovah. Okay? All right. Now, She's trusting in the Lord. And when, as the Old Testament begins to unfold, we see this theme of getting married and having children. Getting married and having children. Because as the gospel and the covenant of grace is being revealed more and more, more dispensations of the covenant of grace are being given out. Because after this is Noah, right? Noah, what happened with Noah? Children, when Noah's around, what happened to the world, children? Do you guys remember? Children, what happened in the world when Noah was around? Huh? I should have got him in earlier. So the whole earth was covered with water, right? There was a global flood. It was a worldwide flood. All of mankind was wiped out except for Noah and his family, 8 people, right? And what does God say? I promise not to do this again so that mankind can flourish again. Why? Because of Genesis 3:15, the seed has to come. And then, and you guys probably going to get tired of me saying this over and over again, but after that is the covenant with Abraham. He picks that family out of all the children of Noah, out of all the children of Shem, right? And picks out Abraham, then picks out Isaac, and then picks out Jacob and his 12 sons. And throughout the Old Testament, what do we always read? You guys, most of you got my email with the Bible reading plan, right, for next year. Where do people usually stop when they're reading the scriptures through, from cover to cover?
Leviticus.
Why? It's too much, right?
It's too much fun.
Now we're in Numbers, and we're talking about Numbers. And what have I been emphasizing about Numbers? What have I been focusing in when I explained Numbers chapter 1 and now Numbers 2? What have I been focusing in? The population, right, of Israel was huge. About 2 million people. Okay? All this has to do with Genesis 3:15. See, the Old Testament throughout, and we'll see this, is all about procreation for the hope of the Messiah to come through the seed of Israel. You see, go to Deuteronomy 25. I'm going to show you something there. Deuteronomy 25, the last book of Moses. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing, try to save some time here. Chapter 25, picking out verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. What's going on here, congregation? Describe what I just read in your own words. What did I just read?
Bringing up a seed.
Bringing up a seed.
Yeah.
Why?
The brother should honor his brother by bringing up a seed. Just to preserve that promise.
Okay, and why couldn't, what happened to the brother?
Well, he passed away, so he was unable to carry the seed.
Okay, what else? Fleshed out some more. So here's a couple, man and wife, they're married, the husband dies, but who knows how long they're married, could have been a month, it could have been 10 years, it could have been 20 years, but they're unable to have children. The husband dies. What is 25 verse 5 telling us happens next?
She's not to be married.
She's not to be married?
To not who? To be married to another person, but to the brother.
To a stranger. But to the brother, for what?
To
what James said, right? To bring up a seed in the name of his brother. Right? So we see this pattern in the Old Testament that among Israel, you get married and you have children. You get married, you have children. You must have children, basically. Even the Nazarite vow, as much as I, you know, the little bit I've studied about it, and I read it again, doesn't prevent marriage. A Nazarite can get married, as far as I understand it. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. As far as I understand, a Nazarite can still be married. He just can't eat grapes, figs, wine, right? Can't cut his hair. But he can get married. So even they could get married. So the pattern we see in the Old Testament is marry, marry, and get children. Have children. Produce children. Why? Genesis 3:15. So in Israel, to be single was abnormal. If you are of a marriageable age. Okay? So that's what's going on here. So how about being single in the New Covenant? In being single in the New Covenant, was that looked down upon? Was that acceptable? In the Old Testament, you hardly find any references about being single. The only things you find about being single are mentions of widows and eunuchs. Okay? And those eunuchs are not eunuchs by choice. That's about it. But in the New Testament, we find something different. Okay? So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. If you're an Old Testament Jew reading this portion, what will you learn about the marital status of this person being described?
A single man.
He was a what?
A single man.
Single man? Anyone disagree?
You might see where it says he shall see his seed and assume he would be married.
Right. Who is this passage talking about?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ ever get married?
No.
Did Jesus Christ ever have children?
No.
So how do you interpret verse 10? He shall see his seed.
His marriage is with the church.
Okay.
So I'm presuming that in some sense we're offspring, even though we're the church instead.
Yeah.
You know, multiple imagery is overlapping,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
But that's what I'm good for.
Good. I want you guys to keep what just was said in mind, because in the coming week or two, we're going to circle back to this and what that has to do with single people in the church right now, because this also has something to do with them. You'll see what I mean when we get to it. So he was voluntarily single. He was cut off from the land. He didn't have his own offspring because he didn't get married nor multiply. But he has a seed. He has a seed. He has a seed. Okay? All right. Now, Go to chapter 54. Chapter 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Who is being spoken of here?
Church.
The church. The church. And the church says, and he says here, you're going to have children even though you didn't travail with children. How does that happen?
Adoption.
Adoption. Good. What else? Huh? Presenting the gospel. Good. So, we're almost out of time. So, there is also a physical application here. Okay? Then we get into as well as we continue this series. That just because you don't have children doesn't mean you don't have children as a single person. Or as a married couple that cannot have children at the present moment. There is a way to have children here that's being explained. And we're going to get into it some more. Some of you guys already hinted at it from the New Testament. Okay? What did I read from 1 Corinthians 7? Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Paul. And Paul, as far as we understand from this text, was he married or unmarried? Unmarried. How many children did Paul have?
None.
Ah. You're both right. None and a lot. None and a lot. And that's what these chapters in Isaiah are talking about. And this is what Paul is going to make a connection with people who are single that fall into these other categories than young adults. I'm going to get to that. We're out of time. But for next week, read chapter Isaiah chapter 56. Be ready with that, okay? Because we're going to continue to plumb this some more as far as what it means to be single as young adults that want to get married, what it means to be single as a widower, what it means to be single as someone who's divorced, and what does it mean to be single if you desire to be single for the kingdom's sake. And notice it goes from the physical having a seed in the Old Testament to Isaiah, where it's now speaking of it spiritually. And we want to see the both end of this as we continue this series on being single.